Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, January the 8th, 8th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Happy New Year.
Looking sharp.
Hey, I figured we'd start the year off right. You know, if Rex might wear a tie, I better.
I'm not out here. Not out here.
Well, we'll work on
maybe
that.
When maybe he's with you guys, he does, but not when he's out here.
Oh, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Well, let's not make any bets yet.
No, I wouldn't, and I wouldn't wager heavy anyway. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about, well, Virginia's comments a couple weeks ago started some discussions around ADA compliance, what is, what isn't, should the county be involved, should the county not be involved, to what extent. We'll talk a little bit about that. And also a little bit of spend some time talking about some of the different things that are associated with economic development. Certainly ADA, there's a connection there. Drug enforcement, there's a connection there. Certainly the exposure that we've had the last week and a half in our area has not been a positive one for anybody considering at all of locating in Eureka or Humboldt County. So we'll talk about some of those repercussions also when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Dwight D. Eisenhower. Quote, "Only our individual faith in freedom can keep us free."
All righty.
You like that one?
It's simple.
You've got to believe.
It's
kind of what it was.
You just
got to
keep. You're right. We wouldn't do what we do if we didn't believe.
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't go through putting you through torture all the time if I didn't believe there was something useful to that.
Okay, we'll work on that one too.
I should not try to bother you and upset you on the first.
Yeah,
you know,
first shot.
First meeting
yeah, I know
here.
It gives me so many more minutes to play with. question with the position, with the discussion you guys had with the ADA and some of those concerns. It's interesting, I think, to see and to hear the logical arguments. Great. But it seems like so little today is being done logically. Everything seems to be run on emotion. So if we step back and look at the ADA and realize it's the intent for access, intent for even-handedness, a 32nd of an inch, a half of a degree incline, things like that don't really seem to be under the heading of intent. So as you're looking at it as one of the law enforcement supporters and enforcers in our county, is there a place for the supervisors to task either economic development, planning, building, somebody like that with not enforcement, but consultation? You want somebody to come out and see if you're ADA compliant? We've got an officer here. It'll cost $150 per inspection. Cover the cost, so it's not a profit center, and have someone of the government doing the research and just make that a service, that economic development. It's another tool in your basket. Isn't that the phrase you guys use all the time?
You know, if I didn't know better, I'd think you were shadowing me and, you know, hiding behind me and hearing all my conversations. But
you don't throw that big a shadow.
No, I know that's not how. So I think, you know, what we're seeing is a lot of people in the community think in the same way. The ADA, you know, whether you want to call it issue, not an issue, but compliance, you know, has been around for a long time. And businesses want to be compliant because the more compliant you are, the more your customers have access to you, right? And it's a good thing for business. But there's also the difference of, as you're saying, the intent and reasonable accommodations, or reasonable, I guess, accommodation-ness.
Reasonableness.
And what's reasonable to one person is not reasonable to others. And, you know, whether
But I think the intent is something that everybody agrees on.
Yeah, and when I was at the restaurant is where I first ran into this, because restaurants throughout California were being hit, many of them here in Humboldt County. That goes back like 16 or 17 years ago. And then
That's
I really went through
what, that was
yeah.
the first low-hanging fruit, wasn't it, for
and
this approach?
I believe so, and I know that we were always trying to do what we could within, you know, the budget of what we could handle. But you're right, when it comes down to the very, you know, quarter of an inch or 32nd of an inch, you start wondering, you know, what the real basis is for the lawsuit, other than for someone who's figured out the system and they're benefiting. And the sad thing is, fixes can't get done because the money's going to the attorney and nothing's actually getting fixed.
Is there any latitude, since now you're the ADA lawyer expert? Just let that one ruminate for a moment. To have a grace period, 90-day, 120-day, something so that regardless of what your cash flow cycles are, that there's ample opportunity to make an adjustment. And if it's a significant one, like we know a couple of our buddies in town that had to spend $20,000, $25,000,
$30,000. And beyond.
Because of a inch or a degree out of compliance kind of thing, a revolving bank account, maybe even out of Headwaters money.
Didn't I just say this to you a few minutes ago before we were on air?
Perhaps it's called
Are you trying to help
drinking
me
the
get
same
to
water for too long, playing in the dirt? I don't know what you want
Might
to call it.
Might have been going to Zane. I don't know.
But to me, yes. that's the kind of stuff that Headwaters makes sense for.
Well, and
instead of some of this more esoteric things.
Well, that's one of the things Supervisor Sundberg and I are looking at, some of the aspects of how can we help businesses comply. What can the county do? And certainly our first actual meeting is tomorrow afternoon. We've got a small group meeting with economic development, folks from the county, folks from Redwood Region Economic Development Corp, Arcata Economic Development Corp. We're looking first at, is there something like revolving loans similar to what was available to for earthquake retrofit repairs? I don't know if you remember that.
For the URM stuff? Yeah.
And you know, that was a program that worked. It was very expensive. This seems like we could actually set up something that would be something that's going to help the job get done, and we can help businesses, and thereby helping the businesses, that's, you know, increases our potential for economic development.
KINS News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, the concept of either having a revolving fund or the expertise certainly that the city had, I presume that the county also had some of the unreinforced masonry buildings, getting through that stuff, the documentation, the processing, can you use a little whiteout and cover that up and put in something that would be applicable for trying to get and achieving compliance with the ADA, but not having either the punitive fines associated with it or the green mail threats that many understand are the current case?
You know, if it were as simple as whiting out if we could do that to a lot of state laws, we'd be in really good shape.
Well, I mean, the process that you guys went through with URM,
right.
Let knock off a zero, and it's probably going to be in the same ballpark.
But when you go back, I mean, in the very essence of this is things need to be changed at the state level.
Federal for this one.
Well, but both of them, the state of California, I believe, allows, was it the treble damages? I mean, there's more latitude. Whatever the purpose is, there's a problem when a law lets lawyers and plaintiffs who do this for a business keep making money and the problem not being fixed. So, but my understanding, that's a longer term solution. What I think what we're hoping to do with the county, that I'd like to do, is not take white out, but take the concepts. I think the unreinforced masonry seismic retrofit program was obviously much larger, much bigger dollar amounts, but I think the concept is going to be similar. These buildings needed to come into compliance. It was, something people had to do. It was very expensive, and, we were able to step in and help them. And, you hear the government's here to help, and most of the time people don't believe that's necessarily the case. One of the other items you brought up that I wanted to focus on for a minute, too, is that certified access specialist. Right now, there are people, I've had wonderful, outpouring of volunteers who in other communities have done this more as a voluntary program. But there is a way for people to be licensed as certified access specialists, and that's something I'd also like to see the city and the county look at together, and how do we get people like that on staff, as you mentioned, to be there to help our businesses become compliant.
And a pro-business advocate rather than somebody who's going to be busting chops.
Yeah. And this is also for people who want to open their business. I've had more than one person say that they've decided not to open a business when they looked at all the things that can go wrong in trying to get it right. And I thought,
you probably do that on the first year anniversary of a lot of businesses, too, going, I wish I would have known. Yes, exactly.
So it's like this has been around for a long time, but we need to do something differently, give businesses a way to help them get to compliance, help them
achieve
survive.
Achieve the spirit.
And the intent of the legislation. And there's a lot of the folks in our community who are disabled, who are helping along in our quest to help. And I think that's really heartening when you've got people who know what it's like to not be able to have access to a business or a place, but instead of suing, they're helping find a solution for the business. We've got some really good people in this community who like to work together.
So a question that is unrelated but would suffice for this one. Why did it take so long to do something about it? You said 18 years ago for your shop, the family shop. Why has it taken so long for anybody to go, hey, what about this?
You know what I think it is? There's a cyclical nature, especially with certain attorneys, not just here. There's a tendency for a certain segment of business or certain communities to be mined out.
You're wearing heels. Don't dance. Just say.
No, it's just they move on to another community, and then they come back, and they focus.
Sure, they can't afford to stay in one community because either be run out or they run out.
Well, exactly.
So they rotate through a region.
People forget what you go through. And so, like I said, first it was through the restaurant where I saw a lot of folks going, we were really lucky, but we were always trying to fix things to make sure that we were as close to compliant, but if anyone wanted to make hay, they could have. Then it's when I was at the Chamber of Commerce as a board member. Remember, they were sued, which also, of course, was owned by the city of Eureka. It was like the city rented it to the chamber for $1 a year or something. And so I got drugged through it again.
Yeah, it was the Ernie Pearson deal, wasn't it?
I believe so,
He builds it, and then they rent it for a year.
And then again with the county. So that's why when I looked at it, I'm thinking, I guess it's the definition of insanity. And
you've heard this song before?
And I think it hit a chord. I understand, it's not just Supervisor Sundberg and myself. I understand Supervisor Lovelace is also, we don't want to walk on each other's toes, but we need to figure out what works best in our districts and the county as a whole.
The question, the follow-up question to that one then is, in addition to ADA, what else is out there that are issues? And labor law is one that, you know, everybody across the board all use. I mean, could the county actually, you're going to love this one, get its act together and become not only business friendly, but really...
a resource?
Yeah. Not federal dollars, not punitive, not the inspectors, not some of the unique
regulators.
Things, but something that's applicable for everybody. You don't have to be organic to make this one happen. Across the board, these are things that come into play and almost an extension of SBDC or the SBA, but something that is there to help out businesses and to attract businesses. Concept, I know. You'll have to think about that one for a while. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
A decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, as you consider some of the different things that are out there, shared with you already, and I think anybody who trolls any of the various national news-based, fully vetted websites instead of some of these commentary things that are out there. Almost got it through my system. Yeah. The final comment, and I don't know if it was the AP story that did it. I don't know if it was the Chronicle put it on it, but I saw it on the B's website, the Chronicle's website, USA Today, LA Times, Chicago Trib was shared, and the New York Times. The final statement was, Humboldt County, known for logging, fishing, methamphetamine, and marijuana production. You know, and if that is the, at least in radio we're taught, the last thing in the ad is the lasting impression you want to leave with somebody. So if this is the lasting impression, because it's the last thing on the article, one, why should anybody be surprised that we're having people break in killing people? Doesn't it perpetuate this image that not lawlessness, but drugs is what Humboldt County is and is all about? And if those are inaccurate,
how do we change the story? Or how do we, sorry,
yes,
I derailed you.
Not only how, but how soon? How aggressively? I mean, right now, you guys don't even have a marketer, let alone having a marketing plan or a branding, you know, the Humboldt Made thing, okay, that's fine for that segment, but it still leaves the marijuana production, the meth, out there as that lasting impression for what Humboldt County does. I can't imagine what the tourist season is going to be like this year. If you were thinking, you know, sending your kid to Humboldt State? Yeah, right. And as you're making your decisions in the next 6 weeks, I mean, there's a whole bunch of ripples and wrinkles on this thing that are, I think, already starting to hit the shore, and we're not going to realize it, what the erosion is with any of positive traction we've had for until it's too late. I mean, can the county be proactive on this? Is the county inclined to be proactive on this? Is there anything that's currently at work to try to? Maybe this is the truth, but to get the truth out as we see it?
You know, in what you're stating there, the last sentence, as I mentioned to you earlier, the logging and the fishing, that doesn't bother me. It's like, well, so let's say, you know, I think currently there is a proactive effort to get some of the forest products industry good news out there and into other segments of the country and the fishing. You know, so I don't think those are necessarily bad. I think those are, you know, they've changed certainly different from what when you and I were
growing up. Yeah, you got the Redwood, Arcata Redwood, or Green Diamond doing their thing. Okay, that's great for the Redwood.
So,
So and you got Kumamoto oysters and the
right. So we've got some good, but we obviously, as you're saying, you know, when in the same sentence it mentions methamphetamine and, you know, marijuana distribution, cultivation,
well, just assorted. Period. Marijuana, yeah, period, yeah.
We'll call those the two M words for, you know, lack of anything in our conversation. It's like, what do we do to get those taken out of the equation?
Particularly now, Colorado's being seen as this panacea, as they've now authorized recreational use of marijuana.
So we can grow it
in Humboldt County and buy it in Colorado, right? Isn't that kind of the message?
Well, I hadn't really thought about that. I'm thinking, let's just have everybody go to Colorado, and you know,
Does it grow in snowdrifts of 15 feet?
Well, then that's where the indoor. I don't know. I haven't studied this like you have. Apparently, I mean, grow shops, but
I mean, you hear about it. It's like in the lead story of each of the newscasts. Oh, and I'm moving to Colorado because of this, and oh, this is great, and somebody finally gets it. You know, this whole.
Is that really
pro thing?
Okay, I guess what I'd say on that note is I don't want that to be reasons people are promoting moving here in the future. I'd like to see people wanting to move here because we have beautiful country, because we do have good education. But no one's going to hear those stories until we get, you know, this other blot off of our record. And you're asking if there's proactive movement foot right now. I'm sure there's right now. I'm guaranteeing you there's all sorts of thoughts, but
what would be better for Headwaters than that kind of stuff?
But you'd have to spend some time, you know, perhaps there's a group that needs to be convened of like, okay, another meeting, but you can't just say, hey, you know, we're going to take this much money from Headwaters and eradicate meth unless you have a plan.
You can't, but you could, I would imagine, on an emergency stay or something similar, to go to the Headwaters board and say, guys, we're in crisis. We need $2 million. We've got our economic development department that's here. We have faith. We got to get a marketing plan out. It's got to be out tomorrow.
So you're talking about more, not so much eradicating the bad, but to be sharing the good news so that it overshadows.
Triage marketing is what I would call it. Because until something changes, you know, it's just going to continue to spin on its own, I think.
Well, we have a lot of agencies that are, you know, as we know, that are there for marketing, but this isn't the type of thing they're marketing. This isn't the path that's chosen.
This isn't business stuff. This is health and safety stuff.
Yeah, this is thinking outside of the box because it's a different reason for marketing. But it could be the very existence, you know, it could relate to the very existence of what we know, you know, here is our economic base if everybody starts leaving or people stop coming. So,
both.
That's... You know, I'll follow up on that. It is January 8th today, so give me a couple months to get back to you on that. That's my first challenge from you for this year, and I think you may have
started with a
doozy.
Yes, a chompy one.
But you know, that's what it takes, is people thinking differently and
well, you know, the thing that I see or sense from talking with folks is that we all knew that there would be something that would cause us to do something different here. Well, and we weren't sure what it was.
Unfortunately, the tipping point?
Yeah, if you want to use Gladwell's phrase, yeah. That finally we're there. And a whole bunch of folks recognize it from all kinds of different perspectives. And now there's frustration as well as motivation to do something now to take it back. And it would be really cool, it might almost be confidence building, I hate to go that far, that if there was something that everybody was getting behind to say, no, not here. And it's part of it's the marketing, part of it is going after some of the meth producers, sellers. the marijuana folks, the criminal elements of it. Yeah, everything's always connected. And I don't know how to go there, but I think both of us could find about 5,000 people in about a day and a half who would agree that something has to be done and has to be done now.
You know, and I tend to think we're not the only community who's gone through this. And, of course, some have probably, you know, there's communities we don't want to look at. There's not
the drug successful. Overlay, though, isn't is something that's a little bit more unique for us.
Well, but I the point I'm trying to make is so often when we try to create something new, sometimes we just need to look to see what others have done and at least take what's useful there. And this isn't one necessarily, you know, we talk about going and meeting with other supervisors throughout the state. We talk about homeless. We talk about the marijuana, certainly. But I don't recall having the conversation of, you know, finally, you know, you hit that point where there's a tragedy that really sets things in motion. And others have been there. And that's part of it is going, well, what can we also learn from others? Which I don't think that has to be a long process. I think we just start looking at communities who have seen an upsurge. You can certainly probably list several communities that you've seen in the past have been known as maybe not gotten good press, and now they've actually, you know, had an uptick in their popularity or their image in the in the community. So I don't think it's impossible. It's just, where do you start?
The first step. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:43. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, certainly the county can't provide solutions for private business sector. I mean, that's not the function. There's not enough budget there. There's opportunities, though, to be there. And as Arcadis has kind of served as business incubator, doesn't the county have the opportunity to be something similar, pro-business incubator? Now, if it happens to be regulatory, not it's compliance assistance, great. If it's funding to be in, great. You know, it's kind of what REDEC, I guess, kind of started out as, but I'm not sure if it's still there or not. For something like this, that it wouldn't be the financial condition of the business. It would be more, if this is what you're being hit with, we'll give, and it doesn't matter the size of your business, you're there to help people, help out businesses of all sizes, all shapes.
You know, some of that was, you know, with the SBDC or the Small Business Development, you know, but many people didn't know how to take advantage of that. And that was really very frustrating when I would send people there, and it wasn't that it was helpful, but people needed to know what they needed to ask, and they had to have the perseverance because it's very small as a small business. What can we do to maybe beef that up? REDEC and like Arcadia Economic Development are going to have a very important role to play because the funding is you know, important, but funding's not the whole thing. If you have funding, but people
don't know you're there.
They don't know you're there, or if people need not just the funding, but they need to be able to make the plans so that then they can access the funding to make something happen. I think that's where we can help more. You mentioned the compliance assistance. Obviously, we know that that's needed for our existing businesses. And what is it that we can do to help more businesses? And, you know, we've been asking that question for years. It feels like maybe we're helping several people. You can have people come on here and you'll hear, I mean, you've heard the success stories of a lot of our food producers and, you know, a lot of the small business. But there must be something we can do more. And, you know, I think the question you're asking is how do we provide the environment to help people but they have to want to open, you know.
It almost sounds like what you need to do is what I feel chambers of commerce function are. Yeah, it's not to go down some of the paths that they're going, from my definition. It's for any business in that jurisdiction, any business who is a member, to be a better business because they are part of this organization. Period. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. The county, though, isn't a membership-driven organization. The power of taxation kind of sets you apart on that one. So it's a little tough, but you have access to dollars, whether it's Headwaters or grants or matching, that others don't. Certainly the chambers of commerce don't. And I see that might be the bridge for a partnering between what resources you guys can bring to bear versus what those of us outside might be interested in trying to find out about. Certainly it's kind of out there. It's a little bit esoteric at this point.
It's all right. It's January. Like I said,
start with a challenge and with a solution. Somewhere in between, you marry them together and we'll both be happy.
That works. And okay. I think it makes sense to have partnerships in the community. We're all about that. We just got to figure out the right ones.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.